The think tank group then tackled the issue of chemotherapy in older patients, and to begin, Dr. Goldberg commented on a number of queries from the audience about the treatment of octogenarians.
Of course, in these clinical trials, people in their 80s are vastly underrepresented. And so there isn't much objective data to go on. We're, again, extrapolating from people in their 70s. Having said that, you know, I've got a physician's mother in my practice who's 91, who's tolerated FOLFOX plus Avastin just fine. And, you know, she came in with a walker because of arthritis, and somebody could have said to me, well, you were wrong to use oxaliplatin in that patient. But I would have had a low threshold for discontinuing it. But it's worked out just fine.
That's fascinating. Dan?
Just a comment in Intergroup 089, which finally got published with 10 years of follow-up. We had 1,000 people over 70, which is when Dan Sargent got the data for the 70 and over crowd, and 121 people over 80. So the numbers are diminishingly small compared to the denominator. And as an editor, what I would like to see actually is the data for outcome and toxicity comes specifically from patients who are eligible for a particular study. I would like to be able to download, when we do a randomized phase 3 trial, is to be able to hyperlink to the original protocol to find out what was the definition of PFS in that protocol, because you can't put it all in the method section when you're doing comparison. So you could sit there in your office, pull out the Mosaic trial, look at the definition, and then you could be somewhat comforted that if the patient were eligible for trial, that the data for toxicity and outcome might actually look like the data that we're getting retrospectively now.
Alan, in breast cancer, there's been a lot of sensitivity to the absolute numbers that get generated when you start to look at the effect of adjuvant therapy, for example, as portrayed in Peter Ravdin's Adjuvant Online. And as the age goes up, the absolute benefit decreases because of competing causes of mortality. That actually is built in. Colon is also built into Adjuvant Online. What are your thoughts about that?
I do think, as Rich said, if patients who are in your office live to be 80 or they have a pretty good life expectancy, excessive of the disease-free survival we'd expect for the average patient with high-risk colon cancer, I do think age is a factor, of course, in your decision-making. It's a factor in how aggressively you follow patients. Do you do serial CT scans in a patient you wouldn't consider doing a metastatectomy on, things like that? These are some of the nuances, but I really do agree that age by itself should not be a reason not to offer patients treatment. But the one last comment I'd say, of course, the problem is we get our clinical trial data on the 80-year-old Olympic athletes, and whether that's relevant to the patient in your office is a very different question.
Dan, I'm not sure I understood your comment relative to the definition of DFS and the need to have supplementary information. I mean, certainly if you look at the Mosaic trial, and I think it was, you know, a very informative analysis that was done, that there seems to be no interaction between benefit and age.
Only in terms of understanding, for example, Neil answered my question between the Roche trial with Zelox and the Hurwitz trial, if there was a difference in PFS, were the definitions of PFS the same? And the classic example of not knowing what the definition was PETOC 3, where their definition of DFS was really relapse-free survival. So they weren't even using the same definition. So I'm just meaning to say that having that data available would be very important to have, and knowing whether you can apply the data to that very small subset of the elderly, would it be appropriate?
Right, but relative to age, you would include a death as an event no matter if you're using...
Oh, no, I absolutely agree, but I'm speaking in that regard more to the eligibility criteria.